Chapter 22. Katie Frey had wanted to lead the drop down the shaft to the vault. She had suppressed her natural desire for direct action and assigned a four-person team to take point while she followed. Four people in the lead were more than the entire team she had wanted to take with her. Two operators were all she needed. Additional people were, in her opinion, only more lives at risk for no gain. Bishop had insisted the entire complement of Star Team Razor participate in the op. That insistence was matched by her team. No one wanted to be left behind. Serrano. She had shaken her head at the Spanish Army lieutenant who led Razor's heavy weapons squad when the man protested her original plan to take only two Star operators with her.
You do realize this is likely to be a suicide mission?
It is not a suicide mission, Colonel, he disagreed with determination. Suicides intend to die. We intend to win.
Against Elder Defense Bots?
You expect to win, ma'am. Otherwise, the Sentinel would be handling this problem.
She had been forced to admit the lieutenant was correct about that. Serrano was below her, with half of his heavy weapons squad taking point. She could see the four operators using batpacks to control their fall down the shaft. If the batpacks failed, falling the remaining 3 kilometers even in the moon's light gravity would be fatal, and Skippy had warned that failure of the jetpacks was a serious possibility. If that happened, the usual backup of a parachute balloon was not available since Earth's natural satellite lacked an atmosphere. An alternate backup capability had been fabricated, a system that was entirely manual. If an operator's batpack failed, a handle on the belt would release the heavy and useless jetpack unit and fire a solid rocket upward. That rocket would pull the operator upward, either up and out of the shaft entirely or as close to the surface as possible. If the tiny rocket's fuel was exhausted before its human payload was clear of the shaft, the Star operator had to judge when the upward trajectory was over and falling again was inevitable. At that point, a harpoon on a cord could be manually fired to bury itself in the wall of the shaft. The final phase of the rescue plan was for each operator to climb up out of the shaft. It was not a great plan. Team Razor shrugged and agreed, what the hell, it was good enough. They were not accustomed to planning for failure. Frey could see the point team as they dropped through 2.5 kilometers from the vault. She could see them. That was good. The four operators were visible in both the synthetic vision superimposed on her faceplate's visor and with her naked eyeballs because the faceplate was clear. So far, there had been no interference, either physical or with sensors or communications. So far, they had not come within 2 kilometers of the vault.
I am losing visibility forward, Serrano reported, with the understanding that forward meant below him. Sensors are nominal. They just aren't seeing anything down here.
What does your Mark I eyeball tell you? Frey asked as she increased the magnification of her own visor.
There is what appears to be a fog bank down here, Serrano said as a question.
That can't be real. Not here.
It can't. Lieutenant, weapons free, but be sure where you're shooting.
Gravity always tells me where down is, Colonel.
The point team plunged through the 2 kilometer mark and were still visible. She lost sight of them at 1.85 clicks from the floor of the vault.
Serrano.
Lieutenant, she called.
Bravo.
She tried the code name of the point unit. No response. Below her was fog. She was rapidly falling toward it.
Spread out, she ordered the 3 operators with her.
Skippy, do you have contact with Bravo team?
No, he groaned, disgusted.
Serrano's micro-wormhole was severed at the same moment your sensors lost sight of him. I warned that this could happen.
Understood.
Attached to her waist was a box with another micro-wormhole. If she lost communication with Skippy, the fight would be over before it began.
20 seconds to the fog level.
It is not fog. You know that, right?
I do.
The beer can had not become any less irritating over the years.
What is it?
Without sensor data, I can't analyze the nature or source of the effect, and since it is blanking out sensors, it...
If we don't speak again, the elder AI choked up. I just want you to know that I have always...
Too late, she exhaled as she plunged into the fog.
She could still see, not above her or below her. That was lost in featureless gray fog.
Twisting her head, the three operators with her were clearly visible, as was the tunnel wall flashing past. No, not clearly visible. Not entirely. The gray rock of the shaft wall was less distinct than it should have been. Still, she wasn't blinded by whatever was causing the fog. That was good. Her suit was fully capable, as was the bat pack she had strapped to her. "Charlie T," she called to the people around her. "Report." All three operators reported their equipment and themselves to be in normal condition, adding thumbs up to confirm. That matched the information her suit reported about her team. Whatever was interrupting communications and visibility, its range appeared to be limited. Now, time for the crucial tests. First, test whether the effect only jammed communication with the surface.
Serrano. Serrano, you hear me?
No response. Her suit was also not picking up a data feed from the point team.
"Ah," Skippy spoke in her ear. "I am not in contact with Serrano either."
That took care of the second test. Her micro-wormhole was still active. "That," the Elder AI continued, "answers the question of whether the effect is only a reflective barrier at 2 kilometers. It is not."
"What is it?"
"I do not know."
"I need to know. Is it simply scrambling our sensors, our electronic systems?"
"There is no way for me to know that, so
I'm going to find out."
"How are you going to—"
"What are you doing?"
Skippy screeched. "Finding out for certain the only way I can." I clicking a command, she reached up with one hand, unlatched her helmet faceplate, and swung it up out of the way. Her eyes stung from being exposed to hard vacuum. She blinked to clear away the tears and looked below her. Fog. Featureless, light gray fog. Focusing on the shaft wall as it zipped past her, she saw that the darker gray rock was less distinct than it should be. She swung the faceplate back into place and felt warm, humid air flooding the helmet.
"The effect is not only electronic. Skippy, I didn't join the pirates until the Renegade mission, so I wasn't with you during the zero-hour incident."
You didn't miss much. That was not my finest hour."
"The mission reports I read mentioned the planet Gingerbread was enveloped in something you referred to as a fuzz field."
"It was."
"Hey, I knew the effect you were experiencing felt vaguely familiar to me." "Is there a fuzz field around me now?"
"No, but the technology is similar. Roughly. It uses the same photon scattering effect."
That is interesting.
And frightening. I don't have access to that technology.
Does knowing it is a fuzz-type field help you to counter the effect?"
No, unfortunately. Not from up here.
Colonel, I suggest you prepare for landing."
The beer can was silent while Frey felt her backpack automatically slowing her descent. Removing her rifle from its holster, she secured it stuck to the inside of her right forearm, clipping it into place. The weapon felt odd, poorly balanced. That was what happened when a large mass was added around the muzzle and the magazine was empty. The underslung rocket launcher had been removed, replaced by extra power cells that were held in place by what Skippy insisted was not duct tape. It only looked like duct tape. Seeing that the tape was already wrinkled did not inspire confidence. At 30 meters, the light gray fog became darker. At 20 meters, she could see the vague outlines of objects below her. Some of those objects were moving.
"Hold your fire," she ordered. "Do not fire," her team acknowledged.
At what her suit informed her was 15 meters above the bottom of the shaft, she could see the gray rock of the floor, and the four members of Serrano's team moving away to clear the landing zone.
"All clear down here, ma'am," Serrano reported.
Regardless of the fuzz field, the line-of-sight laser links of their helmets still provided communication at a short range.
"Anything moving?"
she asked as the backpack surged a final time and her boots touched down. The backpack unlatched itself, and Serrano stepped toward her to remove the bulky unit.
"Just us, as far as we can see. But the seismic sensors in my boots tell me something heavy is moving around over there."
He pointed off to her right. Then he was busy unlatching her backpack and carrying it as he led her away from the landing zone. The jetpack was set down against a low wall with several others. If they got into a fight, the stars needed to be light and fast, not burdened with mass that didn't help with delivering ordnance on target.
"That," she noted, "is the direction of the garage where the Guardians are stored."
All members of Star Team Razor set down without incident.
"Skippy,"
Frey called, using their one working micro-wormhole. All the others had failed. The fact that those failures had been predicted by the Elder AI was not a source of comfort to Team Razor. Talk to me. I suggest you proceed to the Guardians without delay. Don't be hasty, he added. Just don't screw around with sightseeing down there. I do want a snow globe, but the gift shop is closed, she said as she kicked away a broken piece of some sort of machinery. A machine made of metal, not exotic nanogel. A casualty of the raid, she assumed. Team Razor, we need eyes on the Guardians. What the hell is that? Serrano whispered. Though sealed up in his helmet in hard vacuum, he could have shouted with the same effect. The heavy doors to the garage where the Guardians were stored had been ripped out and tossed away, so the garage was also exposed to vacuum. The silent Guardians did not care. A spider bot, Frey observed. A Guardian loomed in front of her, the rear end of the alien machine lost in the gray fog. When dormant and its weapons and sensors retracted into the hull, it was a rounded square in cross-section, 40 meters tall and wide. The surface of the hull was a mottled gray and black, and the colors shifted disturbingly as she moved her head. Even at rest, the machine hovered 2 meters above the floor of the garage, projecting a silent menace. It appeared to be ignoring the spider bot. Perhaps because the bot was not actually touching the Guardian's hull. The bot had created a greenish web around the Guardian. Spider bots don't weave webs, Serrano objected. Major Guo used his visor to highlight the spider bot for the team. This one does. These do, he corrected himself as 4 more spider bots crawled into view from the far side of the Guardian. Colonel, if we're not going to shoot, we should... Right, Frey agreed. Everyone back away. Maintain muzzle discipline. Meaning do not aim weapons at the scary alien machines. She took 3 steps backward. The 5 spider bots stopped what they were doing. Stiffly, they turned toward the star team, who were arrayed in a semicircle around the front of the Guardian. The spider bots raised 2 of their appendages and began twitching them. Skippy, those bots are agitated. Yes, I suggest your team cease locking targeting sensors on those bots. Like now. In her visor, she saw all 5 of the bots were highlighted by the low-power targeting lasers of the operator's helmets. Team, disengage automated targeting and do not manually paint those bots. There were no protests or comments from her superbly disciplined team. The highlighting disappeared. The bots lowered their tentacles. In unison, they resumed work on the webbing. Frey let out the breath she had been holding. Her expectation had been for ST Razor to be engaged in furious combat from the moment they first set boots on the floor of the vault, or sooner. Skippy, why haven't those bots attacked us? They don't see your team as a threat. Frankly, you are not a threat to them. Do you have any advice for me? Do not provoke them. Also, do not fire in the direction of a Guardian. Those things will respond to a threat, and they won't care about collateral damage. Can they assist us? Can they? Yes, absolutely. Will they? Negatory on that. I already pinged them. They do not acknowledge. Why hasn't this one stopped the web from being placed around it? Again, I am guessing, but the Guardian probably does not see the web as a threat. What is the web? There I do not have a guess. It is a very advanced form of containment system for a jump drive. The drive itself is that egg-shaped thing, he highlighted the object in her visor, that is attached to the webbing. She examined the object that rested on the floor of the cavern, itself enveloped in webbing, with an umbilical cable connecting it to the web around the Guardian. That is a jump drive? She asked, skeptical. The thing was only the size of a microwave oven. A self-contained, very sophisticated jump drive. I would love to understand how it works, because right now I do not understand it. Why would there be a jump drive? It seems fairly obvious that while my opponent's minions are not attempting to steal the moon, they do intend to take at least 1 Guardian. Are there webs around the others? I don't know. Guo, conduct a recon. Carefully. Do not take any additional risks. Major Guo reported back within 4 minutes. The Guardian behind this one has its forward section partially enveloped in a web. There are only 2 spider bots working there. The other Guardians are clear. That will change soon, Skippy sighed.
The web in front of you is almost complete. Once that guardian is taken away, I strongly suspect all the spiderbots will concentrate their efforts on the unit behind it. Major Frey, I have mapped the web and analyzed it. You are running out of time. Those weak gamma rays your suits are detecting are from test pulses of the jump drive.
My estimate is less than 9 minutes before the drive becomes fully ready.
How can any drive jump a guardian through solid rock? As I mentioned, it is an advanced form of technology.
Advanced, the AI admitted with reluctance, even beyond what I can do. This is a problem.
I understand that. This changes things.
Colonel, I would like your team to retreat to a location where you can observe the jump drive in operation.
You want us to do nothing while the enemy steals a guardian?
The data I could acquire from observing a jump would greatly outweigh the loss of a single defense machine, regardless of its capability.
Could my team survive the gamma rays of a nearby jump?
Well, shit. I always forget about the squishy bodies of your meat sacks. Okay, so maybe what you do is...
Bishop interrupted.
Negative. Forget that idea, Skippy. But Joe, Frey, I want to make this clear, the commander of the special mission group stated. Your team is down there to destroy the Terminators, not to study, not to bring back samples, to wipe them out.
Understood, sir.
Ugh, the AI huffed. Joe, you are not thinking rationally about this.
How about this for rational? Bishop snapped. After ST Razor destroys the Terminators, you will be free to study that jump drive all you want.
Oh, well, that is kind of a duh, I guess. You could have said that before I...
Frey, Bishop ignored the beer can sputtering. You are down there, I'm not. You know your objective. Are you clear on my intent if things go sideways?
Crystal clear, sir.
Good hunting.
Bishop out.
Skippy, we count 7 spider bots.
Yes, that matches my count.
Do those bots, plus the webs and the jump drive box, egg, thing, account for all the missing mass?
Close enough. Those items account for more than the missing mass. I suspect the enemy has repurposed material it found in the vault.
If my team destroys the jump drive, will the bots be able to create a replacement unit?
That is unlikely. The drive components must have been brought down from the ship. However, may I remind you that your objective is to restore the Guardians to a useful condition? To do that, you must disable the fuzz field, and to do that, you have to turn off or destroy the field generators that are scattered around the vault. The enemy bots will not allow you to disable the field.
General Bishop, she called.
Skippy is correct, damn it. Bishop sighed. We can't leave those bots to run around down there.
We need to take them out, she concluded.
I would like to say something like your team has gathered valuable intel and you should egress while we consider how to deal with the problem, but the clock is ticking. It was just math, she knew. A single guardian was more valuable than an entire star team, more valuable than the entire special operations regiment. DEFCOM would regret the loss of lives, but would consider trading ST Razor for a garage full of guardians to be the bargain of the century. That was the job.
Understood, General.
We're standing by up here. He wasn't putting pressure on her to act prematurely, simply reminding her of what had to be done. Regardless of the cost. The spider bots were skittering across the webbing and dropping to the floor. Their jobs were done. The jump drive was ready. The gamma radiation of a jump wormhole would fry her team, even in their armored suits. She needed to either attack or retreat to a safe distance. What distance was safe from an entity that could jump a guardian from under the surface of the moon through kilometers of solid rock? Where would be safe if the enemy controlled a guardian, or more than one? The 5 spider bots were marching away, presumably to complete the webbing around another guardian.
Major Guo, she ordered. Engage with plasma rounds when ready.
The team acted the way they had practiced in one of Valkyrie's docking bays, though the exercises had not anticipated needing to engage 7 small targets, and certainly not targets that were marching away in a fairly straight line. Targets that were not acting aggressively. Guo instructed the gunners to aim manually without alerting the enemy to their intentions by activating targeting sensors. 15 rifles were raised and steadied on 5 targets. They could not engage the 2 spider bots that were close to a guardian. Guo gave the order as soon as he sighted his own rifle on a crawling spider bot.
Fire!
Inside the chambers of the plasma weapons, explosive charges flashed the payload of each round into plasma, and the superheated matter lanced out the muzzle toward the enemy. The barrels of the weapons were designed to expel the plasma in a ball rather than a beam, widening the area of impact. Six of the plasma balls struck their targets. The spider bots moved with lightning speed as the glowing projectiles were in flight. Four of the five bots were impacted, the fifth dodging aside so all three plasma rounds fired at it splattered harmlessly on the garage floor. The rounds didn't cause enough damage. When struck, the four spider bots flared outward, absorbing then ejecting energy as blinding radiation. Guo grunted.
"Oh shit, everyone back," Frey barked. "Assemble on me."
The team fell back to surround their leader, all keeping their eyes on the enemy bots as the impacted bots literally shook off the effect of the plasma. Two more bots dropped to the floor, then all seven skittered together and began merging, flowing together into a single entity.
"Hold your fire," Skippy shouted. "Colonel, do you see that orange glow around the bot thing? That is an energy field. Your plasma rounds will be completely ineffective against whatever that bot is turning into."
"Hold your fire," Frey repeated the command. The liquid alien nanogel was forming a cylinder shape. The cylinder was complete, 3 meters tall, flared out at the base. The surface of the round pillar facing toward her bulged outward. It was preparing to launch a splatter of nanogel at Team Razor. Their suits had reactive armor, explosive panels that would shed outward when struck by a corrosive substance or anything else that could eat through the suit's outer shell. Each panel was a single-use device. The alien bot could launch multiple shots, or do something even worse.
"Colonel," Guo spoke over a private channel. "We could concentrate fire on that.
No good. Major, I've been here before. Half measures."
Her voice caught, and she swallowed.
"Won't work against this thing."
Skippy had warned the only weapon useful against an elder killer bot was the maser cannon of a battleship, or a battle cruiser. Except Valkyrie was 700 kilometers above the other side of the moon. A safe position, in case one or all of the Guardians exploded. The bulge on the front of the cylinder was widening, adjusting to splatter her entire team who were packed closely together, providing it with an easy target. Or so the alien machine thought. Frey stepped forward, bringing up her own rifle, which was not loaded.
"Hey, asshole!"
She breathed as her thumb pressed a button above the trigger guard.
"Say hello to my little friend."
She pulled the trigger. The rifle did nothing. Above the near side of the moon, 700 kilometers over the relatively flat, dark splotch called Mare Crisium, the battlecruiser Valkyrie fired one of its main batteries, a maser cannon that had been modified to narrow the beam to minimum diameter. The modification significantly reduced the power throughput of the cannon, but that hardly mattered as it was still the main battery of a freaking battlecruiser. The beam never left its barrel, never reached beyond Valkyrie's hull. It didn't have to. Frey's rifle was unloaded, that was true. It was not harmless. Attached to the muzzle was a bulky, awkward box that contained two items. An Elder communications node that ensured an unbreakable, faster-than-light channel for signals, including a channel over which rode a micro-wormhole, the only micro-wormhole that had not been severed by the fuzz field that enveloped the vault. The other item was a containment field for one event horizon of a micro-wormhole, the same micro-wormhole whose other end was at the center of a maser cannon aboard Valkyrie. Pumping gigawatts through a micro-wormhole was not a good idea. Was not even possible. The tiny rip in space-time collapsed immediately, but not before 82 gigawatts of hellish maser energy surged through, fountaining outward from Frey's rifle in a broad cone. The alien bot ceased to exist. So did the wall of the garage behind it.
Why wouldn't the stupid voice let her sleep?
Shut, she groaned without making any effort to open her eyes.
Up.
For emphasis, she waved a hand to swat away the annoying voice.
Huh.
That was weird. Her hand, her arm, didn't move. Couldn't move. Trying again, she...
Colonel Frey, the voice boomed in her ears. Please do not move until the diagnostic system has completed scanning you for injuries.
Injuries? What the f...
Wiggling fingers, then toes, she opened her eyes to see nothing.
Where the f-
Oh, yeah. Fuck! She shouted, laboriously moving her legs into a fetal position. The suit's motors were not assisting. She had to bend the armor using sheer muscle power.
Colonel Frey, you risk damaging yourself if-
Shut up. Sit rep now.
This unit has been damaged and is conducting repairs. A restart sequence will be engaged when-
Restart now.
That is not advised. The-
Do it. Priority to sensors and visor display. I need to restore situational awareness, she added, though she had no need to justify her actions to a machine.
Restart commencing, the suit computer replied with a distinctive tone of disapproval. Supposedly a suit computer that could mimic human emotions made the unit more relatable for the wearer. Katie Frey thought that was bullshit. Functionality will be restricted until repairs are complete.
Can repairs be completed?
Basic functionality of all systems can be restored with onboard nanomachine supply. If you do not cause further damage. That was undisguised disapproval. The display in front of her eyes flickered, went black again, then turned a uniform dark blue. Some asshole had decided the visor should literally blue screen when it had power but was offline.
Not funny, she said to herself, and made a mental note to find that person and administer a well-deserved beatdown. When she could.
Another flicker, and the display was online.
I don't care about the condition of my suit.
Her frustration was boiling over.
Show me the status of my team.
Not all data is available, the computer sniffed, but complied.
1, 2, 3.
She stopped counting. The entire team was reporting in. The people weren't reporting. Their suits were linked to the local network, connected by laser link. Everyone was alive. Not everyone was so lucky to be able to move fingers and toes. Not everyone was conscious. Cohen and Wu had been sedated by their suits after the medical system determined their best chance of survival was a medically induced coma. They needed to get to a Navy sickbay soon. Mazer and Igwe had both lost their forearms, one right, one left. Sharma's suit had severed his left leg at the knee to prevent fatal blood loss. Frey knew what that recovery would be like. Sharma had the blessing of not being one of the few survivors after nearly the entire team had been slaughtered by alien machines. He hopefully would not carry the burden of survivor's guilt. That is, if ST Razor lived to escape from the vault.
Suit, where is the enemy bot?
Unknown at this time. External sensors are still rebooting.
Oh, for...
Her Mark I eyeballs were in perfect working order. Not perfect. There were spots swimming in her vision. Good enough. With an eye click, she made her faceplate go clear.
Helmet external lights on, she commanded.
The garage was flooded by twin beams of white light, and she couldn't see a whole lot. It wasn't because of a light scattering field, it was the dust. Plain, ordinary, fine gray moon dust. Pulverized rock that had not yet settled to the floor. Air currents could not be keeping the dust aloft. The garage was exposed to vacuum. The moon's gravity and static electricity, she guessed. What mattered was that she could not see more than 5 meters in any direction. Twisting her head, she was able to see that she was lying on her right side with her back against a wall. No, not a wall. A huge, flat chunk of... something. A piece of a wall, possibly? Chunks of rocks, large and small, were scattered all over the floor of the garage, if that's where she still was. Some rock was piled on top of armored suits, on her people. She struggled to roll over and get to her knees.
Colonel Frey, the suit protested. Please do not-
If I can't move, she grunted from the strain of pushing the heavy suit upright. Even in lunar gravity, the damned thing's mass was difficult to move.
We could all be dead soon.
If you will wait 6 more seconds, the suit spat, I will have power restored.
I can wait.
She sagged to her knees. There was a familiar beep, and the display indicated power was back on. Power cells are at 57% capacity, the suit warned.
I can see that.
Frey stood up, eye clicking to restore the synthetic vision. The visor instantly cleared, no longer confused by the static-charged dust. The view was from the sensors of her own suit and any suits around her that had booted up. Like Major Guo, who was struggling to his feet. He stood abruptly, bouncing off the floor of the garage chamber. Flailing his arms for balance, he reached the top of his trajectory and came down awkwardly. Frey reached out a hand to catch the man.
Steady, Major. My suit's balance assist feature isn't fully effective, he said, then immediately switched focus to a more important subject.
Where is the enemy bot?
I don't see it. Not any sign of it.
Anyone? Team, does anyone have eyes on the enemy?
8 people responded, then 9, then 10, as suits restored power.
The fuzz field is still active, Serrano warned.
Frey nodded, as if anyone in mech suits relied on body language. It was an old habit.
Skippy said the field generators are independent of the Terminator bot. Does anyone have a functional plasma rifle?
11 rifles were in working order, including 3 taken from operators who themselves were not combat effective.
Spread out, she ordered, not bothering to pick up her own rifle.
She hadn't heard from Skippy, which meant the Elder comm node had burned out.
That was expected. It was also unfortunate.
If you see anything moving that isn't us, kill it with plasma fire. Major Guo, you're with me.
Guo held a plasma rifle that had its stock sheared off. He had to brace it against his hip.
It will still shoot, he explained. Can't guarantee I will hit anything past 10 meters.
With the dust hanging around and the fuzz field still active, we can't see much farther than that.
True, he grunted.
Colonel, say hello to my little friend.
Really?
It's from Scarface.
I know where it's from, he snorted. I would have gone with Dodge This from the Matrix.
Good one. Maybe next time.
She had to laugh. She laughed. Was that a good sign or just the release of too much tension?
Guo pointed at the far wall, or what used to be the far wall.
I hope there is not a next time I am ever that close to the main battery of a capital ship.
Me too.
She nudged the melted remains of her rifle with a foot.
Tell me something, Colonel, please.
What?
Since we have never done this before, how certain were you the event horizon in that containment field was pointed away from you?
Don't worry, she winked. The containment canister had bold lettering with this side toward enemy.
The scout teams reported as they cleared the garage in a grid search. 12 minutes later, Guo concluded.
Unless something is in that rubble,
he pointed to the slope of shattered rock that used to be a wall of the garage.
We are alone down here.
Get seismic sensors on that rubble, Frey ordered, to verify nothing is moving in there. I count 1 bat pack capable of flight. Does anyone see different?
No one did.
This one,
Staff Sergeant Schmidt held up the single jetpack unit that wasn't in 100 broken pieces,
can only produce 19% thrust. That won't lift any of us.
It can lift me?
Sergeant Wynn held up the hand that wasn't cradling her plasma rifle.
No.
Frey shook her head. The sergeant weighed less than anyone else in Team Razor, but her suit's mass was pretty close to standard.
Your suit, ma'am, I don't need any stinking mech suit, Wynn insisted. My helmet and suit liner will protect me from vacuum.
Okay, that's true.
We practiced for operating without suits too many times,
Wynn cocked her own head.
It was supposed to be an unlikely scenario. I'd like to think those hours weren't wasted.
Hours? Serrano snorted. Those exercises are days for me, cumulatively.
Colonel, Guo said over a private channel, we need the people upstairs to know we're alive down here. It has been 17 minutes since Valkyrie fired the big gun. If they don't hear from us soon...
Right.
If command didn't know the threat had been eliminated, they would order Skippy to use the Sentinel.
Serrano helped Wynn dress for the party.
Everyone else, she turned around. See if you can find anything that looks like it might be a fuzz field generator.
Ma'am? Schmidt asked. How will we know whether an object is a generator?
Anything, she took a breath,
that looks alien and doesn't belong down here.
If we find something like that?
Smash it. Don't waste your plasma rounds. Actually, don't smash it. The thing must have a power source that could explode.
Back away and use, she patted the sidearm on her belt, minimum force. And don't destroy all of them. I'm sure Skippy will want to study anything we found down here. Wynn had stripped off her suit's arms, legs, and most of the torso pieces. The remainder of the torso she needed for power and life support, and to hold and control the backpack. The pressurized suit liner bulged outward, looking like she was wearing a thick parka.
Blipping the unit's jets 3 times, she was able to hover, though her brief flight was wobbly.
"I can do this, ma'am," she assured. "If I get lost, I will just bounce off the shaft walls on the way up."
"Do not lose the cable," Guo warned, pointing to the spool of thin yet ultra-strong nanofiber that would provide a communication link, even through the still-active fuzz field. They hoped.
"I'll be back soon,"
Wynn gave a thumbs up.
"I just have one question."
"What?"
"Does anyone not want anchovies on their pizza?"